Can I just stop for a few seconds and just tell you this, that God will never fail? He does not fail. He's not going to fail you. And this song we just sang is a very powerful song, but we have to believe it. So just remember this, God will never fail you. Let me pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love. And thank you that you never failed us. In your name we pray and say, amen. Well, good morning, New Hope. Let me take a moment to welcome our online community. So if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, or later in the week, it's so good that you are with us. And also, I would like to take a moment again to celebrate what happened last week. 9 people got baptized. Yes, 9 people. There's nothing more that brings me joy than seeing a person taking a step to follow Christ. And let me add more to this. If you don't know this, New Hope is part of a network called North Star. And North Star challenged all of the churches around us to baptize 1,000 people by the end of the year. And as of last week, 858 people have gotten baptized. Yes, all glory to God. And today we are diving into our series called Upside Down Living. And if you are new with us, in this series, we are looking at this famous message of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And in this message, Jesus flips the script. He turns everything around. He tells us that blessed are those who are drunk. Not drunk, sorry. Blessed are those who are poor, drunk in the spirit. Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those. Oh, man, I'm out today. Is it good that we can laugh at church? And you know what this tells us? That no one's perfect, not even me. So Jesus comes in this story and says, blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are rejected. And then last week, Pastor Rusty was talking to us, saying that we need to love our enemies. And that's hard. We need to love people that don't look like us. And today, we are even going deeper into something that will challenge us and is going to turn everything upside down. And let me tell you, as we are going in, as we are diving in this part, imagine an onion that keeps peeling and peeling and peeling. And that's what Jesus is doing, because he's about to focus on our ego, the part that always wants to be right, that wants to look better, that wants to feel in control. Jesus highlights the importance of integrity, self-awareness, and grace in how we treat others. He moves from teaching us to love our enemies to saying something that goes completely against our culture. Do not judge others. Do not judge others. Church, let's be honest. We live in a judgy culture. We are always comparing. I wouldn't wear green. Yayo, do you know that green makes your skin tone look a little bit darker? Yeah, it does. But we live in a judging culture. Oh, I wouldn't post that on Facebook. No, I would not say that. Oh, I wouldn't wear those shoes at church. Uh-uh. How come the preacher's not wearing a suit and tie? Right? We live in a judging culture. That's what we do. We are always comparing ourselves with other people or with the things that are happening around us. And let me be honest, it happens to me as well. There's days where I'm in a meeting with other pastors, and we are talking, and they are saying all their achievements as they are growing as a church, and this is me in my head thinking, that's it? Just one baptism? We had 9. It creeps in. Judging just creeps in. Sometimes we don't even realize it, and we are judging. And that's what happens. It sneaks in. It's part of our culture. It's part of our nature to compare each other. I have more followers than that person. I have more likes than that person. My car is the better car. I got the iPhone. What's the new one? 17. I got the 14 here. But, you know, we are always comparing. And Jesus flips the script on us, church. So I want us to read Luke 6:37, and this is what it says. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Church, Jesus just flips the script on us in just one verse. In one verse, Jesus gave us some some knowledge, some meat in just one verse. And I want us to remind you here that as Jesus is talking, he's talking to a crowd of people. Broken people, hurting people, rejected people. But at the same time, he's talking to teachers of the law. He's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to religion leaders. Many of them who were there to judge him. Some of those leaders that were in that crowd were there to judge Jesus. And Jesus knows this because Jesus knows everything. But let's be honest. When we are called, when Jesus is saying don't judge others, he's not just talking to that crowd. He's talking to us today. He's also communicating to us that we should not be judging. He's showing us that upside down living really looks like. He's showing us. He says this. Kingdom people don't use their own standards to measure others. Followers of Christ do not use their own standards to measure others. There's a pastor in Texas that says this. Kingdom people won't judge and condemn others according to their own standards. Church, we live in a world that has a system that is constantly measured by appearance. It says morality, spiritual maturity. But Jesus called his followers to be different, to not judge, to live by the kingdom standards. So we need to stop using our personal opinions, preferences, or pride as the measuring stick for someone else's word or walk with God. That's upside down living. We are not to judge others. That's not our role. We as followers of Christ don't need to be judging. So he says, do not judge. And then here's the second thing that he says, do not condemn others. Jesus is going deeper and deeper. To judge someone is to form an opinion about them. Maybe it's to criticize or assume something about their heart. I told you that was going to happen. You should listen to me. That's judging. But to condemn is to declare them guilty. To decide that they are beyond hope, beyond grace, and beyond change. I have fallen to that trap. I have condemned my father before. My dad is never going to change. He's always going to be that bitter man. He's not going to change. But then Jesus changed me and challenged me that it's not my power. It's not me. It's his power and only him. So judgment says you mess up. Condemnation says you will always be a mess. But here's the thing. Upside down living means we refuse to write people off. It's not our job to judge. It's not our job to condemn. And let me go deeper with this. Not even Jesus condemns us. Look what John 3:70 says. For God did not send his son into the world to what? Condemn the world. But in order that the world might be saved through him. So Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And now sometimes we taking that step to condemn others. But that's not our job. Where the world cancels, Jesus restores. Where the world condemns, guess what? Jesus forgives. So now, Jesus talks about do not judge, do not condemn, and now he's about to get more practical. He says, we need to forgive. We need to forgive. Forgiveness is where everything becomes real. Now, you might say, Yayo, you talk about forgiveness is the application. How about not judging and not condemning? That's also application. Yes, they are applications. But Jesus just unlocks a whole new level on us. He's telling us to forgive. To forgive. The real test of a transformed heart isn't just holding back. Judgment is releasing forgiveness. So let me ask you this. What is forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean? So let's look at the Greek word, which is called apoilo. And this is the word that Jesus uses. Forgiving means to release, to let go, to set free, to dismiss. To release, to let go, to set free, and to dismiss. That's what forgiveness means. So when Jesus says, forgive and you will be forgiven, he's literally saying, release and you will be released. This gives forgiveness a whole entire vivid picture. It's different. It's not just an emotional act. It's a release. When you forgive someone, you release that person from the debt they owe you, whether it's financial or a favor. When you forgive someone, you release yourself from the burden of resentment. So let me give you a quick story. I'm not going in details because my wife is probably watching this. But in marriage, how many times do we as a couple mess up? All of us, correct? For all my couples here, how many times have you used something against that person that happened 2 years ago? I heard ooms, so that's good. I made the mistake 2 years ago where Joanna and I disagree, and she did something to me I didn't like. And I forgave her. I told her, Joe, I forgive you. Let's move on. But every time we argue, I will bring that car. But you remember what happened in June 2022, right? And she's like, I thought you forgave me. Well, blah, blah. And then she's like, okay, I'm sorry. Third argument, 2 months later. Hey, do you remember what happened in June 2021? She's like, she got tired of it. And she confronted me and she told me, did you really forgave me or not? Because I am tired of you keep bringing up the past. You say you let it go. You say you dismiss. You say you move on. But you are using this card as your favorite bingo card right now, your Uno card, reverse. And it doesn't work that way. And I felt so guilty. And I felt so bad because she was right. My wife is 99.9% always right. This was my 1% that I was right. But I abused it. I lied to her because I didn't forgive her. I was just using it. So when Jesus died for us, guess what? He does not remember your past. He lets it go. So we, as followers of Christ, when we forgive, we don't have to remember. We just have to let go. And now, forgiveness isn't pretending the hurt didn't happen. It's choosing to release it, to let it go. When you release others, you open your heart for God to release you. Now, with all that information about what forgiveness means, we can say this. Forgiveness isn't excusing the wrong, it's releasing the weight. Forgiveness doesn't mean what they did is right. It means you are choosing to let go, that it's not going to hurt you anymore. It's not carrying, you're not going to carry this pain anymore. Forgiveness is freedom, not for the person you're forgiving, but for you. Forgiveness is for you. So now we can go and say this also. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's choosing not to hold it against them. So if my wife is watching right now, Joanna, I'm sorry for holding that car. You know? Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's choosing not to hold it against them. People say forgive and forget, but that's not what Jesus meant. Forgiveness doesn't erase the memory. It changes what the memory does to you. It's deciding, I remember what happens, but I'm not going to make them pay for it anymore. I'm done. I move on. I let it go. The world says, you owe me. Guess what Jesus says? I pay for it. I pay for it when I die on that cross. So let it go. Think of the Frozen song. Let it go and go and go. That's the only words I know. Church, forgiveness isn't giving others what God has already given you. Forgiveness is not. Sorry, let me fix that. Forgiveness is giving others what God has given you already, which is everlasting life. God has forgiven you. God has given you the opportunity to come and follow him. So we forgive because he forgave us first. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, and let's read this together. For one another, just as who? Has forgiven you. So church, when you forgive, you're not saying you win. You are saying God wins. Forgiveness, it's upside down living, church. Welcome to upside down living. The world says, get even. Jesus sings, let it go. The world says, cut them off. Jesus says, set them free. And in doing so, you free yourself. Forgiveness, again, doesn't change the past, but it does change your future. Forgiveness is not weakness. It's a spiritual strength. Forgiveness is not denial. It's a deliverance. Forgiveness is it's a feeling. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's a decision that sets your heart free. Church, forgiveness breaks change, the change that judgment and condemnation tries to keep you on. That's what forgiveness does. It sets you free. Now, let me tell you another story, and I'm going in details with this one because this person is not here. When I was in college, I bought my first car, a 2001 Volkswagen Jetta, 6-speed, tinted windows, leather seats, beautiful car. And I made a deal with my uncle with this car. I gave my uncle $2,000 as a down payment, and every 2 weeks I'll pay him $400. I did that for 2 years. So when it was my last payment, I was happy. This is my own car. I'm in college. This is my first car. Now, that's a big deal for a college kid. This is my car. I paid for with this car with my sweat and hard working and all the shifts I did to make it happen. This is my car. I was excited, happy. About 2 months or 3 months later, I remember waking up, going outside, and my car is gone. It's not in the driveway anymore. So I'm from Memphis. So I'm here thinking, oh, man, my car just got stolen. That's my first reaction. But then I stopped for a second. And I was like, wait, time out. This is a stick shift car. They don't know how to drive stick shift. They are not going to steal my car. So my neighbor comes an hour later as I'm about to call the police. My neighbor tells me, hey, around 6 a.m., a tow truck came and took your car. So I think your car got repo. I'm like, repo? Why? I mean, I pay everything. So the first thing I did, I called my uncle. Tio Eddie, hey, my car is gone. I think it got repo. My uncle is like, hold up, let me make a phone call. Then 20 minutes later, my uncle calls me. He's like, yeah, your car got repo, that you were $2,000 short. And I'm like, wait, time out. What do you mean $2,000 short? Yeah, but I gave you that down payment. He's like, oh, that down payment wasn't for the car. That down payment was for my fee. My own blood, my uncle, stole $2,000 from me. The one who carried me when I was born and helped my dad babysit me. The one who always talks about, we are Mexicans and we are Espinosas and your blood is right here. We are blood family. The one that always says, you know you're an Espinosa if you have something red right here. The one who's always bragging on the last name. Let his first nephew down. Church, that broke my heart. My own blood. I mean, I expect it from everyone else. At that point, I want my car to be stolen. He hurt me. He broke me. So I did what I do the best. Did not forgive him. I'm like, you are dead to me. I'm not talking to you again. And he tried to make it up by getting me a 1989 Corolla. I'm like, nah. And I remember telling to every family member and friends, Eddie who? He's dead to me. I'm not talking to him. I did not went to family reunions because he was going to be there. Every time his name would come up, I would be so negative about him. Until my other uncle, the youngest one, Pepe, came up to me. He's like, Yayo, you go to church. You work at church. You say you love to share Jesus. You say you like to see people get baptized. And I see you active on social media sharing your story about what God is doing. But let me ask you this. You talk all this church talk, but you're not willing to forgive my brother. Are you a faker? Are you a pretender? Ouch. That hurt. That hurt. But church, he was right. He was right. I judged my uncle. I condemned my uncle. I wouldn't want to forgive my uncle. And when my Uncle Pepe challenged me, he also told me, you are the first believer in this house. How are you acting this way? Lead by example. I know what he did was wrong. I get it. But you cannot hold that against you. He's not just your brother in blood, your uncle in blood. He's your brother in Christ. So that day, I went home, talked to God. I asked God for forgiveness. I'm like, Father, please forgive me. I mess up. And you know what's good about my father? That he does forgive. But he also challenged me. So the following day or 2 days later, I went to see Uncle Eddie. And I told, Tio, I forgive you for what you did to me. I'm not going to hold this against you. You messed me up. It was wrong. I know it's just a car. I get it. But that was hours of me working hard. And my uncle said, I'm sorry too. I should not have done that. And a big, beautiful picture that Jesus reunites uncle and nephew. To the point that he was my best man in my wedding in 2020. I was able to forgive my uncle, move on from him. I never made another business with him though. Learned that a long time ago. Something that Pastor Rusty mentioned last week, there's a difference between forgiving and there's a big difference between trusting. Not doing business with him. But I love him. He's my uncle. But that was also the first step. The first step for me to be able to forgive my dad. Because what my uncle did does not compare to what my dad did to me. If I wasn't able to forgive my uncle, I was never going to be able to forgive my dad. And now I can proudly say this, that my family, they go to church whenever they can. They talk about Jesus whenever they can. But it started with that conversation with my other uncle when he told me, stop being a faker and live what you are called to live. Because he was saying that I was becoming a person that reflected a bad image of Jesus. So church, when you choose to forgive, something powerful happens. You start to look more like Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did. He forgave us. And I know this opens a lot of questions. How can I forgive that man or that woman? Or how can I forgive that person? How can I do this? How can I forgive that? I get it. I know. It's not easy. It's not hard. But as followers of Christ, it's our duty to be able to forgive. Even when it's hurting. And it's not easy. And I get it. It's hard. It took me a while to forgive my uncle. And it took me about 7 years to forgive my dad. The hurt is there. It hurts. But you know what hurts more? Not following Jesus the way he wants me to follow him. Because Jesus got betrayed. Jesus got crucified. He got lied. People lied against him. People that he cured were saying, crucify him. But what does Jesus do? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. He's asking his father to forgive them. Jesus is asking for forgiveness for those who are doing him wrong. And Jesus dies on that cross and he says, it is finished. It is done. And now everyone that believes in him can have everlasting life, eternal life. And guess what? With that, we can start forgiving those who hurt us. Because Jesus led by example. And yes, it takes time. I get it. It takes time. But let's read what Colossians 3:13 says. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive who? Who offends you. Remember the who forgave you. So you must forgive others. That's not if you want to. That's a direct order now. That's a command. You must forgive others. Others, welcome to upside down living, church. That's upside down living. Because in the kingdom of God, forgiveness replaces bitterness. Let me give you an example on this. Have it ever happened to you that you are so angry at this person and you're so mad, but the other person is having the blast of his life? Jumping around in Disney World, Universal Studios, whatever. I'm just saying those names because the first things are coming in my head. And you're like, how is that person so happy? How is this? Don't they know what they did to me? Forgiveness frees you. It doesn't free them. They don't, I mean, I got to be careful. Not that they don't care, but they don't care. If it sets you free, if it's you, forgiveness starts with you. Forgiveness replaces bitterness. Man, forgiveness also conquers kindness, conquers anger with kindness. Jesus invites us to live differently, to respond to pain with mercy, to let go and trust him. That's upside down living. It doesn't make sense to the world. When I tell this story to some friends, they're like, oh man, yeah, you're brave. I would never forgive them. Yeah, but my father forgave me. Jesus forgave me. And that's what exactly Jesus wants us to do, to learn how to forgive. Especially today in 2025 when everything's so broken, so divided. Our job is to be the opposite and to show that Jesus is first. And it starts with forgiving one another. I get it doesn't make sense, but that's upside down living. So don't judge, don't condemn, and forgive. That's what Jesus calls us to do. That's only one verse. I wish I had time to go to other verses. I mean, even last week, Pastor Rusty focused on one, basically one verse, love your enemies. I mean, this is not easy, church. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive. Because when you forgive, you are set free. You are free. So here's a challenge for you today. Ask God to show you where you might be judging, condemning, or holding on to unforgiveness. Ask him. Talk to him. Because I was the fake father of Christ when I was hating my uncle until my other uncle challenged me. So for you, ask God, Lord, where am I at? Am I judging? Am I condemning? Man, am I really not letting go of that person? Ask him. And let me tell you, he'll forgive you. That's the beautiful part. God will forgive you and will challenge you to take the next step. And that next step is to either stop judging, stop condemning, and to forgive. Remember, forgiveness sets you free. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. It starts with upside down. That's how upside down living looks like. But now, for this to make sense, for all of this to make sense, you need to have a relationship with Christ first. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you're going to be bitter. Because only Christ gives you the wisdom, the love, and the strength so that you can forgive. And to have Christ in your heart is admitting that you are not perfect, that you are a sinner, and confessing your sins to him. It's believing that you are choosing him, and it's choosing him as your Lord and Savior. That's how easy it is. And once you do that, then the process of forgiveness starts. And it's not going to be fast. Some people takes time. It took me 2 years to forgive Eddie, my Uncle Eddie. It took me 6 years to forgive my dad, but I started a process asking God in prayer to show me, to guide me. So church, upside down living is not easy. And Pastor Rusty mentioned this the first week. Upside down living is a challenge for all of us. But with Jesus on our side, we can do it because he already won the battle. He won the battle. And he will not fail you. He does not fail you. So let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for challenging us. Lord, today I pray for people that some of us that cannot forgive right now. I pray that you counsel them and you are with them so they can start that process of forgiveness. I pray for those who are judging or condemning, Lord, that they can be challenged and instead of condemning, they can show kindness and love and Lord, I just pray for our church that your will be done. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us, for caring for us, for forgiving us first. And Lord, we just want to be an example of you. We want to be an image of you on here at New Hope. Thank you for your love and thank you for who you are. In your name, we pray and say amen. Thank you, church.